So our scripture today is from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 4. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And our hymn of preparation is Voices Together, number 386, One is the Body.
You approach the building and notice a light shining on the inside. It's a light that has shone there for many, many years. There are people inside awaiting the arrival of friends. As you walk through the door, you step in and feel the stability of the building's construction under your feet. You hear the noise of some conversations, and then you hear the words, "Welcome," followed by your name. Despite coming feeling a bit scattered and uneasy, hearing your name spoken grounds and strengthens you, making you feel sturdy and connected, like the building you've entered. You put away your coat and you strike up a conversation with whoever happens to be preparing the refreshments, doing the last bit of tidying up or hosting and serving at the gathering that day. You enter the larger community gathering space and see more people, many faces familiar and some new faces too. There are children playing and chatting, and there are others sitting silently listening to the musicians practice. The room begins to fill up, and then at one point, a hush falls over the group. You have a sense that all the people gathered are being drawn together just like the materials for the building were once drawn together to make the sacred space you currently sit in. The music begins sounding familiar tunes, rooted in ancient traditions of praise, lament, and trust directed to the God of heaven and earth. Someone stands to light candles, and then someone else leads the gathered people in song. The rhythms, the harmonies, as well as the silences and the occasional discordant notes, come together to make a new, beautiful reality take shape before your very eyes. Words of scripture are spoken, children are welcomed and blessed. One stands to preach, and another leads in a time of corporate confession of sin. The people gathered together have become as one body, framed and set on a foundation of song, holy scripture, and prayer. A leader then invites those present to share their struggles together and praise God for the good in their lives. Some speak up with words of prophetic admonition, noting where things are not right in the community and in the world. They call the community to greater faithfulness in following Jesus in daily life. Some speak up with words of prophetic hope, affirming the ways that God is making things better. Every word of admonition and comfort spoken adds additional strength to the new structure taking shape. Announcements are made to ensure that everyone is aware of ways to participate in the work of building their common life together. More songs are sung, and then a time of food and fellowship ensues, actions that further bind together those gathered, providing a sturdy structure. Leaders prepare additional lessons for children and youth, while some gather for a time of extended conversation about their interpretation of the scriptures and about how to discern the Spirit's presence in their gathering. Some visit in other spaces to encourage one another and to learn of important needs in the community and plan ways to assist each other in those needs. And the time comes for the new reality built in this space to become mobile. This new structure is not like typical structures. Its sturdiness and strength and unity does not come from remaining in one place, but by being sent. All the while held together by the Spirit of Christ that drew it together in the first place. As you step out the door of the building you first entered, you leave the stability of the building comforted, knowing that despite the many cares and concerns ahead of you, you are being built up with those gathered that day into a building made and held together by God. By now you will have caught on that I was quite taken by Paul's use of the building metaphor in 1 Corinthians 14. The image of a building is a powerful one for all sorts of reasons. Practically, we daily experience the importance of structures and their sturdiness. They provide us spaces to make home in, to have comfort and safety, to work in, and ultimately to make meaning in. And so Paul's image in 1 Corinthians 14 of words of prophecy as ways of building up is a very tangible one, and one that I think particularly fruitful for us to reflect on as we wrap up this worship series on the prophets. After all, we follow the prophets as they've journeyed with God's people in various stages of God's great construction project. We've found the prophets gathered together on the banks of the Sea of Reeds, with Miriam singing songs of deliverance, signaling the fulfillment of the covenant plans that God has been drafting for the people. We found the prophets in the land of Canaan, with Deborah like a site supervisor, advising people and managing the conflicts and the chaos that had ensued in the land of promise. We found rural prophets like Amos, speaking truth to power, to those living in luxury homes in the northern kingdom of Israel while exploiting the poor. We found city prophets like Isaiah, working in the halls of power, warning kings and citizens alike of the weaknesses of their social structure that have developed from neglecting and exploiting the needy among them and trusting in military power rather than in God. We found the prophets in exile, standing on the outside looking from afar at destroyed buildings and cities that had once seemed immovable, and speaking to a hope for a time to rebuild. Some, like Jeremiah, advised the people to build a common, peaceful life in exile for a time. And others, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, foresaw a glorious time of rebuilding in the land they had been taken from, guided by a good shepherd and a king who would rule in righteousness. We found prophets like Huldah at work in various stages of renovation and rebuilding, advising God's people that the work of renovating and rebuilding in any age must build on the foundations of justice and kindness. We found prophets like Mary and Anna, praying for and then declaring a fulfillment of God's covenant plans to bring redemption that sets people free from the sin that keeps the world trapped in cycles of violence and oppression. And we found the prophet Jesus, come to fulfill the prophets by embodying justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God, even to his death on a cross. The death of this prophet brought a radically new life, however, and a new building took shape in the birth of the church of Jews and Gentiles gathered together in the Spirit. The church, gathered in the Spirit and built on the strong and stable foundation of Jesus' words, would seek to follow his example in a world where rain and winds and floods threatened to sweep them away. Their common life together would be characterized by the sharing of Spirit-given gifts. And among those gifts, prophecy would be seen as an important and enduring one for building up the body of Jesus' followers. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, Paul describes prophecy as speaking to other people for their upbuilding, or edification, I think was the translation John Eric had, and their encouragement and consolation. While it seems that the gift of prophecy was especially evident in some people, the apostle also seemed to think that it would be great if everyone were to seek after this gift. After all, wouldn't it be great if we all desired the Spirit's gift of discerning what is needed in the church to build up, encourage, and console? I don't know about you, but I think that this three-part description of prophecy, build up, encourage, and console, is powerful, and one that accords nicely with the way we've been thinking about prophecy throughout this worship series. Naming that something's not right, but things can get better, can and does, at the appropriate time and place, build up, encourage and console those in the church and in the world. And isn't this what we need today? Words that build up, encourage, and console, especially when so often what we hear blaring from TVs, cell phones, and social media and news headlines are words that quite literally tear down and destroy. And so despite coming to the end of this worship series on the prophets, we find that we've arrived at the Spirit-filled work of prophecy in our own time, carried forward through the generations that have led to this moment today. The impact that the work of prophecy has had on the church through history is evident right here in this particular space and in this body of faith gathered in Bloomingdale. Throughout the years, many saints have built up, encouraged, and consoled each other in this community gathered here. And all of them have contributed to the strength of the body of Jesus as it has sought to be faithful through the ebb and flow of history. The saints in Bloomingdale's history are linked backwards and forwards in time, backwards to all the saints that had come before them and forwards to us. We are together a building built up by God, who has given us the gifts we need to be faithful. In just a moment, Melody will begin to play piano. And once she does, I will invite you to come to the front to light a candle in memory of someone who is no longer with us. As John Eric noted earlier this week, I had sent out an email invitation to many of you to think of someone from your past that has died, but whose words of encouragement continue to have an impact on your faith and life today. As we light candles in memory of beloved people who have left us, may we recognize in these lights the Spirit's enduring gift of prophecy in the church, the gifts of words in every age that encourage, console, and build up the body, spreading the liberating word of Jesus in every age. May their memory be a blessing for us.